Isn't Brenda the best? Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Josie Vacentino is singing that song.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Live on your computer and various other places, Beggar Goodies Productions at One Firestone Productions presents another episode of The Josie Show. Tonight, Josie welcomes Gail Carson, Don Chappell, Carl Emroy, and Marshall Dane. I'm Alan Firestone, along with Tina Passantino, and now, because she still believes that SpongeBob SquarePants really does exist, Josie Passantino.
Thank you. Of course SpongeBob exists. What are you talking about? Don't ruin my childhood. So I am super, super excited for tonight's episode. It is going to be such a great show. I'm Josie Passantino, and I am your hostess for today and forever. So I'm very, very excited. So we have great conversations coming up tonight with four guests. So we're pretty much back-to-back tonight. It's pretty packed, so we're just going to be cruising. So I get to chat with singer-songwriter Gail Carson, a great artist who brings us a narration to music tonight, Carl Emroy, country singer with a flair of rock, Marshall Dane, and the legendary Don Chappell. So it is going to be just phenomenal. All of them just are great, great songwriters, singers,
hey,
musicians. Hello!
Hi.
What's up? Hi. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Doing pretty good. What's up?
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay, then. So I'm very excited for tonight's episode. And later on in the show, I'm going to tell you about our VIP members. And also, we have some show and station announcements to share with you as well. So it is going to be very busy episode. Yes.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, seriously, Peanut. All right, so up next, now we have our guest for tonight. Everyone, please welcome to the show, Gail Carson. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Hi,
Gail. Hi, Gail.
Thank
you so much.
Oh,
I'm great.
No,
hey.
Hey.
Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight. What an honor and a privilege. Woo!
The pleasure is all mine. I am very excited. We talked to I talked to you last on Fishing Country Now Radio. It was so much fun. We had just a blast. It was hilarious. It was crazy. It was a little crazy, let's be honest. Good though.
Guess where I am right now?
Are you in Nashville?
I am in Nashville.
Oh, gosh, I am
jealous. I've been here. This is my first time in Nashville, and I've been here. This will be 3 weeks now, and I'm going home tomorrow. So you caught me right before I'm leaving, and boy, have I had the adventure.
It's been wonderful. That is amazing. What kind of fun stuff have you been doing? Have you been doing some sightseeing, going to... I mean, there's just so many different places that you can go to in Nashville. So what's up? What have you been doing?
Well, I initially came up with TuneSmithEntertainment.net. They sponsored me to come and sing at the Music City Bar and Grill during CMA Fest, and that was a lot of fun. And I did that about 3 times there. And I also helped them with some video and photography, too. And that was a big blast. And... After CMA Fest, I decided to extend my stay, and I checked out all the open mics in Nashville, and there's so many of them. So I went to the Bluebird Cafe first time, and it was great. And I actually went there twice during my trip. And I went to the Commodore Grill and heard a wonderful songwriting round. with some famous writers. You guys will know who these people are. I can't wait to share my stuff with you about that. And I played a place called Kimbrough's Picking Parlor in Franklin. That was fun too.
Wow, that is so cool. That sounds like you had a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. And I was able to go to two very prominent studios and check them out and see behind the scenes just what it takes to pick a hit song for one of their writers and what it takes to write a hit song. And it's been an amazing educational experience, and I'm just thrilled. It's a chance of a lifetime for me, and I'm already planning to come back.
Yeah. Usually when you're in Nashville, you usually are planning the next time you're going to come back, because you just can't get enough of Nashville. It's true.
Exactly. I hate to leave, yes.
Yes. And also, while you were there, is it true that you signed up to be an extra in an independent film? Is that true?
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Me and my friend, I think you know who he is, Lucas Celebretti.
Oh, yes,
I think. Yes, you interviewed him. Actually, I am at his house right now.
Oh, wow.
I've been staying here for the past few days. I know, it's a small world. And him and I signed up to be an extra in an independent film. It's called The Dust Storm, and it was being shot right in downtown Nashville, right by the river, which just so happened to be right where we were. And so we signed up, and we hung out, and we were part of the audience, and we watched the whole process, and it was fun, fascinating.
Wow. So, you know, your Nashville adventure was pretty much of a learning experience all around. You got to see all sorts of different talents and a lot of different things there. That's awesome.
Yes. I did a lot of work, too. I took a lot of pictures, and I took a lot of video clips. I'm going to be doing some music videos and putting some stuff out there. And I was able to interview everybody who was in line at the Bluebird Cafe. I got permission from them to interview them and then to record their performance inside. And I'll be able to share that with everybody as soon as I get home and put that all together. So I'm excited. I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to check that out. I definitely want to hear the, you know, the fun and excitement that you had there. And I would love to hear the performances as well. That's so neat.
Yeah, it was amazing. There's people from all around the world, as far as Italy, Israel, Canada, Malaysia, all around the world, people were coming to play at the Bluebird Cafe, and you only get one song to play, so you have to stand in line for hours and only get a chance to play one song.
Wow, that is just, you know, I mean, but it's so cool, though, that, you know, such great artists out there, you know, independent artists and, you know, other artists are able to kind of share their music, you know, whether it's one song or whatnot. It's still just an amazing experience all around.
And the talent here is just amazing. It just makes me want to put my guitar down, you know.
It does inspire me, you know.
Everybody is so good, and I learned from every single song that I have heard. And so I was at the campground, and I wrote a song about it.
It
started in the hotel, and then it went to Waffle House, and then it went to the campground, and I finished it up. And the next day, I performed that song at the Bluebird Cafe, and it's called "All About." It's all about the song, and they cheered for me. It was so great.
Oh, that is so great! Wow, that
it
is incredible.
Fun.
That is a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it's just so cool because in Nashville, you can pretty much go anywhere. Like, you know, you could just be walking down the street or something, and you run into someone who is, you know, a musician or a singer or a songwriter. It's just so much music and talent in Nashville that it's just overwhelming and exciting, too. It's so cool.
It is. You never know who you're going to run into, and there's famous people everywhere, and you never know who's going to hear when you sing. And, you know, I went to John A's. Are you familiar with a John A's restaurant? It's across from Otterland, and I played there at their open mic one Sunday night, and
I've
that
probably
was
seen it.
It's amazing fun, and that's one of those places you just never know who's going to show up. And and we had Georgette Jones show up when I was there, and it was so, it was very exciting. And boy, is she ever good! It was just amazing.
That is so amazing. That is
I feel like such an aunt in this town. You know, I felt so humbled, and I just want to put my guitar down.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy, all the talent there. But you definitely are, you know, very, very talented yourself. I know that you started out in music very, very young. And I read this, you started very young, but with an interest in the violin. Is that what kind of started your interest in songwriting and performing? Or how'd that
work? I started out with the violin, and I think it was the following year I got a guitar, and I stayed with the violin for a good 12, 14 years all through grade school and through high school and in 2 years of college. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, and all those sounds that I and all those that experience of being in the orchestra really have helped me producing. When I put together my songs, I can hear all the string parts, and I can hear what the different orchestra instruments would do, and it's really been a big help for me.
Right.
Even though I'm not a very good violinist.
you still do your thing, and I admire that, and I think that's so cool. And so, you know, starting with the violin, then did you get into songwriting, and then you started, you know, singing and performing, or what order did that come in?
Well, you know, I got my guitar, and I started writing songs immediately because it was a whole lot easier to write my own songs than try to figure out what everyone else was doing, you know? You know, I had a lot of angst, and I started writing, you know, love songs right from the very beginning. And, well, you know, they weren't very good, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of years to hone the craft. I just kept at it, and I have a lot of music written now, and I'm glad I kept it up.
Yes. It's important.
Right now I have 13 CDs that are recorded. Actually, I have two more from the early days. But I have 13 CDs that are currently in rotation on radio stations here and all around the world. I'm pretty excited about that. And now I'm talking with Nashville producers, and I very well may go into a Nashville studio and record the best of all those songs and put together one amazing CD to share with everybody. And that's on the works. It's in the works.
That is so, so cool. And, you know, I think the best way that I can describe your music is you write with a purpose. I mean, people can listen to your songs and, you know, learn a lesson or two within the song, which I think is the most important thing about a song. And can you tell us a little bit about your songwriting style? Because I know you write things from the heart and, you know, with a message within the song.
Yes. Well, I find, you know, I learn every day. I learn. I think. I do a lot of thinking. And the challenges, when I approach challenges in life, I try to overcome them. And then usually I get a song idea out of that challenge. And it's usually I steer it in a direction of the solution and not necessarily the problem, but my songs are really solution-driven and trying to help people overcome the challenges that I've had to overcome to kind of encourage and help them. So it's and that's really the direction that my songwriting has taken the past few years. And my latest two CDs are called Lessons and Blessings. And it just came out a few weeks ago, because all my recent songs are either talking about things that I've learned about and challenges I've overcome, or things that I'm thankful for, and all the different ways that I'm thankful for. So the last two CDs are Lessons and Blessings.
I like that. I think that sums it up. I think that pretty much sums what your music is about, and I think that's just wonderful. I love that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have a song here that the first time I heard this song was on Fishing Country Now Radio, called Amazing Things. And I really started just loving this song from there on out. And it's such a great song, and I would love to play that for everybody right now. I'm super excited about it. All right. Let's do it. Woo, I'm super excited. Everyone, here is Amazing Things by Gail Carson, and we'll be right back with her in just a moment.
An eagle spreads his wings and learns to fly. A caterpillar turns herself into a butterfly. These amazing creatures learned to survive by using what they're given to make a better life. So fly like an eagle on the wing. Be beautiful like a butterfly in the spring. Create, write, dance, and sing. For you were born to do amazing things. The eagle doesn't know what he can do, that he can spread his wings and fly until he tries to. The caterpillar weaves her cocoon, then turns into a butterfly, and you can too. So fly like an eagle on the wing. Be beautiful like a butterfly in the spring. Create, write, dance, and sing. For you were born to do amazing things. Just like the eagle and the butterfly, you can do amazing things if you try. So try, fly like an eagle on the wing. Be beautiful like a butterfly in the spring. Create, dance, and sing. For you were born to do amazing things. For you were born to do amazing things.
That was Amazing Things by Gail Carson, sorry about that, and stutter there for a second, but I'm very, very excited because I just love that song. For some reason, it just always makes me so happy. I love it.
Thank you. It's a song of encouragement, you know. It's just to help people, encourage them to, you know, because when an eagle is really young, he doesn't know that he knows how to fly. He's going to have to stand on the edge of that nest someday and take that leap of faith. And that's what I kind of wanted to say in this song, is that take that leap of faith, and because you were born, everybody was born to do amazing things, and we got to figure out in our lifetime what that thing is and do it.
Exactly. I mean, all of your songs, you know, like this one, are just so, so powerful, and just, you know, they're feel-good songs. They really, really are, and they have a message that everybody should really, really, you know, cling to. And I want to know the best places where your new fans can purchase your music. Where are the best websites and places
Okay, my main website is GailCarson.com, and you can buy CDs there. My two latest CDs will be up there, available for sale in 1 week. I'll have it up there. You can also listen to my songs at ReverbNation.com/GailCarson.
Yes.
You can also see my photography at GailCarsonPhotography.com, too. And I have a big presence on Facebook, too, so come and friend me and like my page.
Do it, yeah. Like, make sure you like, friend, add, all that fun stuff, all of the above, Gail Carson. Make sure you do it. And it's very easy because all you have to do is type in your name and you pretty much pop up. So it's like, it's not difficult. It's good.
Woohoo! And I can't wait to share all my Nashville adventures when I get back. So now's a good time to join up. And so I'll be sharing all that stuff as soon as I get back.
Exactly. We might even be seeing some pictures, some, you know, beautiful views. Because I know your photography, you know, your photography is always so beautiful and, you know, just gorgeous. So I'm very excited to see what you what you are up to in Nashville. It's awesome.
Woohoo! Mostly singer-songwriters. I was trying to highlight all the singer-songwriters I could find and gather them all up and showcase them. So there's a lot of brand new faces out there, and I just can't wait to share it.
Oh, I'm so excited to check it out. And also, do you have any upcoming performances that you can let us know about that's, you know, happening pretty soon? Or
I don't have anything on the books right at this moment, but as soon as I get back in town and get my all my work taken care of, I'm going to put something on that calendar. But right now, I'm open.
Exactly. You're open for suggestions.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I may be coming back to Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. You're already planning for that next trip. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'll just get home and do a U-turn.
Yes.
And then go back north.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking of doing. The first time I was in Nashville, I was like, you know, because we drove up there, and right when we were driving back, I was like, how do we turn back? Okay, let's just turn right back.
I know.
It's okay.
I know.
It's okay.
There's just something about the feeling here. There's something about the excitement of all the creative people and all of the ambition here. There's something about it that's very attractive and intriguing to me, and it's very conductive to being a creative person in an environment like this. I love it. I love the town. I extended my trip 2 times, so this is the 3rd week now, but I really have to go back tomorrow.
Right. You really have to, but don't worry. You can go. You can always come back. And it's just for some reason Nashville always pulls you in. So, you know, you might be coming back many, many more times.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I made a lot of wonderful contacts and some good business opportunities have presented themselves. So things are really looking good.
Absolutely, that's the most important thing, to, you know, meet new people and, you know, just, you know, check out everything that it has to offer for you. And I know that you have 2 albums that are coming pretty soon, and we can check that out on your website, like you said. But are there any other upcoming projects that you could tell us about, or are you just mainly, you know, still songwriting?
Well,
Well,
I can't wait to get home and start and writing some new songs with all the different perspectives that I've learned while I was here in Nashville. So that's going to be really fun. I have a few songs in the works, but I need to get home and get them all together, and that'll be interesting. I may just have a whole new CD with called Country Fried.
Right.
With all the Nashville sounds that I heard.
Exactly. Exactly. You could pretty much make a whole other album just on your trip of Nashville. I mean, really, that's all you need.
I know.
It has so much so much material in that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I'm going to be doing some video shows, too. I'm going to be putting together some shows and getting them ready and broadcasting them on Internet TV here and all around the world. So I'm excited about that, and I'll get a chance to showcase a lot of singer-songwriters that I've met and share their music all around the world. So it's a mission that I'm on to help other songwriters, and it makes me feel really good to help them and get them heard.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, that's the most important thing, is to, you know, help out your fellow, you know, artists and songwriters, because everybody needs a boost, and that's the most important thing. So I'm very excited to check out all of the new stuff that you're working on. I think that's just going to be very exciting for you, because you are just working on pretty much everything. every single thing that you could, you know, possibly get into. You're definitely doing it. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's why this town is so good for me, because there's so much going on every day that I'm out and around meeting people and learning about what they're doing. It feels like, but every day feels like a week long, you know.
It's true.
So much information. I have to just think. I got to go home and think for a week to try to process it all.
Exactly. It's totally true. And, you know, I'm very excited because I really want to hear another one of your songs. How about we play, I did a little Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. So I'm going to choose the song Every Flower is Beautiful. So let's play that, okay? Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We'll be right back. Every Flower is Beautiful by Gail Carson.
A dandelion seed floats in the air and lands on the earth below. A sunflower seed is planted by a squirrel digging in the dirt next door. The sun goes up, sun goes down, clouds get rain and the earth goes round. And the dandelion seed and the sunflower seed grow. Sunflower is big, sunflower is tall.
Every flower is beautiful.
Dandelion is short, dandelion is small.
Every flower is beautiful.
Red, yellow, orange, blue, pink, and purple.
Every flower is beautiful.
Oh, every flower is beautiful. Every flower is like a dandelion seed growing in the earth so small. You might be like a sunflower seed growing up 10 feet tall. Every flower looks so differently, yet everyone's special and so unique. So be the best flower that you can be. Every flower is beautiful.
Yes, And that was Every Flower is Beautiful by Gail Carson. We're back with her right now. Another beautiful, beautiful song. And I am just so grateful that you sent your songs to us. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for helping me spread the music and the messages all around the world. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate all of the great, great songs. And coming on the show, I really, really appreciate it. We ran out of time, but definitely a little later we'll play another one of your songs kind of to close out the night. We'll do something special with that. All right?
Woo-hoo! All right, thank you.
Anytime, anytime. So I just thank you so, so much. And you can come back anytime, okay? We'd love it.
Okay, woohoo, I will.
All right, awesome. Sounds great. Talk to you very soon, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Josie, so much. All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Woo! Gail Carson, everybody. Yes. Gail Carson. Aw, she is fabulous. I thank her so, so much
Josie.
For coming on the show. Hello, Peanuts. What's
How's it
going,
going
on?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How about
That's
you?
That's good.
Yes.
Hey, did you tell everybody the good news?
No, I didn't. What good news?
You can now hear Country Blast Radio and the Josie Show on all Sonos music systems. Woo!
I know, I know. So you can pretty much hear it, you know, in homes, cars, everywhere, basically. That's awesome.
Yeah, and trees.
Exactly, even trees. So, you know, I'll get even more squirrel fans. I mean, come on.
If you have those new iPad underwear shorts, you could listen to it in your pants.
Oh, my gosh. Is that even a thing? I don't even think so.
Too much bass makes you fart.
Oh, my gosh. I think you're done. Thank you, Squirrely, for calling in to the show. But you're being cut off. You're getting a little too crazy. You're cut off. But thank you for calling in. And, you know, I'm very excited, though, that you brought that up there, Peanut. I really appreciate it because I think it's the coolest thing ever that we're now in homes and cars, and that's Sonos Music from Sonos Music Systems, and I think that is just so, like, the coolest thing ever.
You know, you sound kind of distracted.
I'm distracted because you are just crazy. That's why you are distracting me. I'm having a difficult time because you are just too crazy. I'm very, very excited, though, about that. And remember, we do have a 24/7 license with our station. We're everywhere.
Hey, Josie.
You know, like I said. Yes?
You want to be on my new reality show?
Oh, goodness. What's it called?
Dancing with the Squirrels.
I would love to, actually. I think that would be amazing. They should definitely air that on TV, if it's not already.
You'll trip over your own tail.
Exactly. Exactly. Although I know it's odd for you squirrels to comprehend, but I don't have a tail. I know, it's scary. But
we'll get you a tail on eBay.
All right, sounds good. You could get everything on eBay.
We'll cut your hair and glue it to your butt.
That will never happen, but thank you for the suggestion. But my next guest is here, so I'm going to have to cut you short there, Peanut. But here we go. I'm so excited. My next guest, Carl Emroy, is here. Hello, Carl.
Hello, 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 Josie.
Hello.
How are you?
Fabulous. I'm doing so great. Thank you for coming on. How are you?
I am so honored, and of course, for inviting me to your wonderful show here. It is really a privilege. And then to follow Gail Carson. Are you kidding? This is huge. Where did you find this huge, humongous talent today? The lineup is incredible.
I know. I got really lucky, and I'm just super, super excited that you're joining us tonight on this show because you are a wonderful, wonderful talent, and I'm very, very excited to be talking to you about your great, great things that's been going on in your life. I'm very excited.
I tell you, I really appreciate your input and your thoughts, and I share them with you, and I'm gladly willing to share them with you because it may just give a little hope to anyone that is slightly over 40. Now you can go ahead and laugh because I am over 40. Okay, fine. You've seen my pictures on Facebook. Okay.
I think that's
but,
great.
But anyway, there's hope. There is hope for everyone, and nobody should ever quit dreaming, right?
Yes. Amen. It's true. I have so many guests on the show. I talk to so many guests. Doesn't matter what age. I mean, it just talent is talent, and I think
mm-hmm.
that's what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the song that's in your heart.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing is just like Gail was saying now,
mm-hmm.
of course, when I came over from immigrated from the old country many years ago as a young
mm-hmm.
fella, born in Austria and then grew up in Germany and then to come over here and then land someplace in Chicago at the Midway Airport, and that's where everything started up for me. And, of course, nothing was ever easy. If anyone thinks coming from anywhere is easy, they're totally mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just come over here and you think, oh, my gosh, your trees are full of gold and you can just go pick them off the trees. It's not all that easy.
Nope.
It isn't.
True.
And for me and the family, it was, you know, it was always an uphill kind of. But Chicago was a springboard for me. It really was. Because just growing up there and then, of course, in the house with mother and father and everybody around, you know, we spoke German in the house. And that's how I really kind of was blessed enough to be bilingual, because I think there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Right.
You know, to have a command of a couple of languages, you know, and it really paid off for me in a ways.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in my younger days, you know, just to keep bread and butter on it, you know, how it's about a real job. I mean, hey, how many
mm-hmm.
people have a real job besides just music, right?
Yeah.
That's very important, because when you get to Nashville, you do anything. You wait on tables, don't you, or you tend bar
mm-hmm.
or whatever. What do you think?
I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, you just want to, you know, do anything. And you have to, you really have to, you know, just follow your dream. If you have a dream, you got to really work hard to get it, because nothing comes easy.
And
nothing,
you are an experienced, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I've read some of your, yes, sir, and you have done some of it
mm-hmm.
and shown some of these things. You're quite a, and I even feel you're going to go places in a very
mm-hmm.
short time, too.
Thank
you
so much.
Because you're very talented. And can I go forward a little bit? You know, I had another thing here while Gail was talking, too, and all the things we do as, you know, we teach ourselves guitar, and we, of course, I came over. Things were never easy. I mean, you had to, you know, just scrap up this and do this, and then you have a job, and how do you go out and take lessons? And, of course, then teaching yourself is always a good way to go. I mean, not the best way to go, but living
right.
in Chicago with such an ethnic group of people was interesting, because where I grew up there in the 70s, way back, we had, I don't know if you ever heard of the Polish uprising. I don't think so, because you were
mm-hmm.
way too young. That's a long time ago. Anyway, Solidarity
mm-hmm.
was a movement, a labor movement by Lech Walesa, who was a Polish labor leader. And that was really my first experience writing something meaningful, and it had a lot of meaning. It was for the Polish people's freedom plight, because there was a lot
mm-hmm.
of things going on with communism. And
mm-hmm.
I wrote this thing, and it really took off in Chicago, surrounding areas. I think even the Pope took one home with them. Isn't that
oh,
impressive?
Wow. That is
yeah.
very impressive.
I mean, the Pope got one, and we had a lot of appearances out of it. I had a lady from out of Warsaw, Poland, a great soprano, to help me do this single, and it was really an amazing thing. But again, it's unique. It's something that has nothing to do with country whatsoever. But here, Josie, I don't claim to be a real, true blue country singer. I cannot take that. I cannot take that credit, because people wouldn't have. But what I do in my heart, I love the music, and whatever I do, maybe it's convincing. I don't know. Have you ever heard of continental country? Hey, that's a new one.
That is a new one. I never heard that.
Continental country, and you know that came because out of living in an ethnic place and spending
yeah.
so much time with other people, as Chicago was very diverse, you know. And so you have
mm-hmm.
all these different musics, you hear all these different things, and you pick up a little bit from there, a little bit from there, And I like to believe that my country music is a little bit, I don't know if you have one of my things, but has a little, maybe a little touch of continentalism. It's kind of a, I like to keep it dreamy. I like to keep it, you know, you remember Julio Iglesias and doing a song with Willie Nelson a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I have.
Julio, yeah. And, of course, how many people have, like Roger Whittaker, how many people have come here and really recorded some beautiful country music?
It's absolutely true.
Amazing. That's why country, and maybe I'm just dreaming this continental country, but I love the idea. It gives me more room. You know, I mean, you're not in a corner where you're singing, and I'm not taking anyone's credit away, but I don't just want to sing one kind of a thing. I was down in Florida at the Dolphins studio down there, and a fellow, I think he was a guitar player for one of the, was he for Ray Price or something? I don't remember. Josh Nolan. And he told me, he says, just stick to whatever it is. When you come up, you got to be genuine, and you have to be different. Is that right?
I think you are too.
I think Gail Carson is too. And so that is very important.
That was my start in Chicago. Wow.
That was my start in Chicago. Being international, it's in a way, it's, you know, it's where it gets really interesting and tough is when you get down to Nashville.
Yeah, that's where it gets serious.
That's when it gets tough, and people don't know. But I want to tell you something right here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, I have never, ever met a nicer, more reciprocative, more pleasant, more hospitable type of people than I did down there. I mean, truly. I mean, these people are so sweet, you know, everywhere you go to the restaurant, have some grits and eggs and some sausage, and immediately they call you honey. Now, is that good?
Yes.
I mean,
true.
Hey, you don't even know me, right? And everybody's so pleasant and wonderful. And I think that gave me a good impression from right on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you been there? I have. I've actually been there
like a few times. And it's true. Everybody, the hospitality there is like unbelievable. If we had that all around the world, our like world would probably be 100%.
It is so amazing, and to think, you know, for me, a transition coming from, there were several stops. I mean, I have parents in, out in Michigan that retired there, so I had reasons to go there. I had to be in Florida for time. I recorded a cassette. Now, is anybody listening out there? Please, don't throw tomatoes at me. I mean, I recorded a cassette. You know how ancient that is, right?
Oh, I still have some, not an eight track now. No, I still have some cassettes.
Do you? Oh, good,
then
I'm not alone. But I did record.
My parents still keep them. Yeah.
Okay, because someday what I like to do, I like to take some of these things, and I like to really get them, you know, I haven't had much time. I like to get them on a CD and have them probably done differently and worked over somehow.
Yeah,
but you want to ask me a little bit about Nashville, how I got there?
Yeah, how did you get there? I think
how did I ever get there? I mean, here's a guy from Europe. He comes over here. He grows up in the Chicago area. And this is where I really had a good education. And, again, I am blessed with certain things. God's been good to me. He's given me a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have gone probably out into another direction. I had ambitions to become a radio person too. But somehow that wasn't me. So then
right.
I thought, well, and then picking around the guitar a little bit and then listening to some of this music and, hey, before your time, Jim Reeves and Marty Robbins, Cindy. And this was my mother's favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
She was playing this type of music at home. You know, at first I didn't pay much attention to it, but then I said, gee, I love that, you know. I mean, just the sound and some of the songs and the message, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some songs, they... Some songs lose a message. I mean, some of these things you can't understand. I'm not saying in particular anyone. I'm saying some people, they need to really, I think, pronounce their stuff, right? I mean, the diction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to hear. You got to hear a little bit what is said or what the message is. Maybe it's just a song, but all in all, I think we all write from experience, right? I mean, everybody has lived their music, just about, huh?
It's true. It's true. I think those are the best kind of music, is when it really is something to you, you know.
And you have, and you have lived it, right? And you have experienced some of it, and. Whether it may be tragic or it's happy or upbeat or things like that, hey.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, either it's happy or sad. You really got to dig deep into that and just express yourself.
Exactly.
Through
music. And it's so wide, and the genre is so, and it has changed over time. Now, country has, in my eyes, has changed some too. I mean, some things, you know. That's why I'm saying a lot of things. I'm not coming here to pretend. I'm not here to. I never had a great, you know. Oh yes, I'm gonna be this and this and this. I was very blessed in a way to go to Nashville, make that move, go there,
mm-hmm.
and just out of sheer luck, I go to Darfans, which is a restaurant right off of the Mumbrian. I don't know what they call the street when you get off of 40 Highway, and the Darfans used to be there, and met this hostess. Very, very nice. And I don't know any of these people. I'm a total stranger. And then you get to talk, and they make you feel like they've known you for... And then she said to me, first thing she said to me, you're an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
I am. And, of course, that's when my hair was black. I didn't have a gray hair on my head, right? And she said, no, you're... And then, so you're going to record, you came, I guess I must have dressed up a certain way going down there, and they knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, after a few visits and da-da, and I found out that she was a background singer. Her sister and herself were background singers for Hank Snow.
Ooh, wow.
Have you heard of Hank Snow? Sure
you
have.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, and so I found that to be really interesting, and in no time I said, well, gee, and we talked and got to like me, and I thought she was a very, very lovely person, and shared with me her experiences and how it was with Hank going to England and
mm-hmm.
all of these things, and I said, gee, that's really marvelous, and then after going there and having breakfast and what have you, I said, one day I just had nerve enough to take a tape of mine. I said, well, gee, I got this tape, and which I cut in Florida, which I did. And I said, well, maybe, I said, would you mind just maybe if you see Hank or whatever it is, you know, could you just do this? And, well, lo and behold, weeks later, I got a phone call, you know. And and what happened is that... I guess Hank sort of must have liked it, but he passed it on to Jimmy Snow, who was his son. Is his son, and
mm-hmm.
his son was really, I imagine, excited about what he heard, what I could do, and so therefore, henceforth, he called me, talked to me, and asked me if I could come Friday night to the gospel time, which follows immediately the Grand Ole Opry, the regular show.
Yeah.
Now, that gave me exactly, you can imagine how much time I had to practice and rehearse, hardly any.
Right.
Because somebody didn't, I guess, show on that particular night, and so how it is sometimes in this type of business, you know?
Yeah.
And, hey, was I going to say no? No, I wasn't going to say no. I put my best face on, and I said, hey, man, I'm going. I'm there. And then let me tell you, anyone who's ever stood on that stage, I mean, you have to be a man of steel or lady or which have you. You just somehow, no matter how cool you are, you get cold around your feet and your hands because
yeah,
of the.
But.
It's awesome. It really, you know, I mean, it will be in me for always and ever and cherished always, and of course. The one time turned into getting re-invited one more time to the show. They must have enjoyed it so much. I don't know. The people were applauding. And then here, Jimmy Snow, he kind of sent me off telling the audience, and I think it was Stubbs, the host at the desk. Was it? Is there a DJ down at W? S-J, I don't know if I got it. Anyways, so he sent me off, and he's saying, this guy, born in Austria, he speaks better English than I do. And I said, well, no, I don't. That was very complimentary. I was very, very excited, and I took this thing with me forever. It will live with me, you know. It really will.
That inspired
me so much that, and I said, you know, I believe a lot of people, they may say, oh, gee, this was luck and what have you. I really, luck is when you know, you have your hand caught in the door, in the car door, and the door opens, it's not always luck. I think providence, there's a lot of things going on that we don't know about. I think some people are meant to be in a certain place at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You never know who is, you know.
You don't know.
Around. Yeah.
Could it be it could be for the best or for the worst sometimes, you know?
Exactly.
But that's how it is.
That is so, so cool. And so you now have such great, great work out. I know you have a great, great poet narration called Desiderata. Am I saying that right?
That is correct. And you know, I tell you real quick about it because I'm so thrilled. I could not believe it after all these episodes are over and done with in Nashville. And of course, the disappointment sets in because, you know, you try so hard and you keep going. And you write all sorts of songs. My drawers are filled. I don't know how many I got in there. And to really record some of this stuff today, the costs involved and what have you, you have to be mm-hmm. honest. I mean, I've lost, I can't tell anybody, I lost a little bit of an investment.
Yeah, it is. It's expensive.
It mm-hmm. can be, and you have to be truly honest. How long can you carry this? How long can you do it, you know? And then, mm-hmm. but you can never give up. Then going 3 years ago, I go on, 3 years ago, I don't know much about a computer. I would say now if I'm on one for 5 years, self-taught. Mm-hmm. So 3 years ago, someone tells me to get on Facebook, get on social sites, do something. And I said, my gosh, I was a little bit scared, you know?
Yeah.
This is also new to me. I don't know. Some of these kids in school today, it's nothing to them. But here you are at my age a little bit, and I'm thinking, okay, try it. Well, lo and behold, it's the best thing I've ever done. And I stuttered mm-hmm. myself through this thing. I fought it every day. And, you know, and because of my bilingual, my bilingual ability, every time I write, I don't know if you on my Facebook page, I pretty much write everything in German and English.
Right.
So that people, I never want to offend anyone, and I don't like to just write something that someone can read or they have to have a translator. I kind of take the time just to put an explanation what I'm saying on what I'm doing, you know. And mm-hmm. so therefore, and then suddenly out of the clear blue sky one day, I noticed a fella there who is quite active with some celebrities over there in Germany. And he's been with, he was over here in Hollywood and going around, a producer, a videographer, very, very renowned kind of a person, Fred Weidler. He can be Googled also, Fred Weidler. Anyways, so he must have seen a picture or seen something on Facebook that he probably liked or wanted to get to be a friend with me, clicked on him. And a little while thereafter, actually, I got on Skype. Can you now you know about Skype, do you? Sure,
yeah.
You do. I'm always afraid of a camera there, you know?
Yeah, you never know.
No, I got to have my hair done, right? I got to have my hair done and my shirt pressed and everything. But anyway, this was great. So anyway, Fred Weidler, he left a message and he said for me to get on Skype with him. And now here is where my question comes in. Is it fate? Is it a destiny? Is it what is it? Is it luck? What do you call that? Anyway, so I go on Skype with him, and he has a few words of this Desiderata. Desiderata was written in 1927 by Max Ehrman out of Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana. And there he was a lawyer, and in 1927 he wrote this thing, and lo and behold, in 1971, Les Crane, now he's a radio personality, was a radio, he actually made a music narration out of it successfully, and actually received a Grammy for this, for the best musical narration of 1971. If you look, if anybody Googles Desiderata, you will see how many views this particular piece received. And nothing has ever been done now for 40 years here like this. So I can consider myself a little lucky or a little blessed in each way to have met this. And, you know, it's a funny thing with Fred Weidler. You know what he asked me to do on Skype? He said, can you repeat for me these last words in the poem? And I did. And he must have liked the resonance of the voice. And by the way I said, I greeted him, I said, hello, Fred. Hello, Fred. So he liked that kind of, that low kind of the volume, the quality I gave him. And then from that moment on, he said he found his man. He was looking for someone for 15 years to do this particular piece.
Wow.
And can you imagine looking for 15 years for some voice now? You mean to tell me there's nobody like that? I told him in Germany or Austria or Switzerland. He
wow.
said, no, not with the, of course, we have a video out right now in the German language on YouTube, Desiderata, and the English version is to follow, which I will send you a link to that, if that's okay.
Perfect. Yes, please.
When the English version should be coming out somewhere in July. The Desiderata in the German and English language are all on iTunes and can just be clicked on Carl Emroy Desiderata, iTunes, Amazon. They're all there. And
perfect.
And how this came about so fast, it made my head spin. And within a week or two, the man jumped a plane. He came over here with his assistant to the United States, and we shot a video right here in St. Joseph, Michigan, by the lighthouse. Have you been here in St. Joe, Michigan?
I have never been, but I would love to.
Oh, you, Josie, you take your mom, and anybody who wants to go, really, you'd enjoy it. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It really is. But then how can we do without you on the radio?
We definitely got to work
Who's going to do the show?
I'll have to do it from Michigan.
But anyway, so he comes over. He flies over here. He comes over here, and he does this, and we complete this. That was half of it. Then he goes back to Germany, where he, of course, it was a half-done kind of a deal, because now what you hear in the song itself, you have a children's choir. Now, the children's choir was not here. The children's choir, who speaks perfect English in the song, I don't know if you could tell, it's perfect English now, their background, and they are from Schweinfurt in Germany, and this Bernard Schaefer is a music school director. He has this music school, and he was kind enough to let us use the children choir, which was fabulous. Then a big producer came around, Gert Jacobs, who does prominent people, very prominent singers, all of the time. So Fred Weidler became not only my producer, is now my manager in a very short time for Germany. In a very short time, I received a contact from Burkhard Mazur, who handles all my America, United States affairs, my appearances, my what have you. They had worked together for 30 years already, which is amazing. See how these things all go together sometimes. Makes my head spin. I still can't believe it. Ask me some questions. I'm talking too much.
No. I actually just want to play Desiderata, but
okay.
I want people to actually hear this. Yes.
So that they even know what is Desiderata. Okay.
I am very, very excited. And you have to give us the English version, because we would love to play that on the show in a later
video.
The video version,
right?
Yes.
We will get that to you. You bet we will.
Perfect. So let's just play this right now. I know everybody
okay.
is really, really going to be
really,
excited.
You
so.
Know, I tell you, my team appreciates it. Fred Weidler appreciates it. Everybody, get all the producers, they love it. And I bet you, I mean, there's lots and lots of people that will most likely. I think you're one of the early stations that's really playing it and has it.
Wow, I'm honored.
Well, we didn't choose many. We're just kind of going at it slowly and make sure we get onto the right places where it's handled well and it's in good hands. And I know it is with yours.
Thank you so much. And I am very, very excited to be able to play this for everybody. And I hope everybody loves it. So let's play it right now, and we will be right back with you in just a moment. Here we go. Desiderata by Carl Emroy. Be right back. Play it.
Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others. Even the dull and ignorant, they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive personals. They are vexations to the spirit.
Shut down.
If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals. In every world, life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. Child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy.
Yeah.
That was Desiderata, and we are back right now with Carl Emroy. We actually ran out of time here, but I really am thankful that you came on the show, and we'd love to have you back on any time, okay?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so very much, Josie. I was very honored and really wonderful speaking with you, and bless everyone, and thank you for everyone who listened in today, too. And perhaps some of our friends in Europe, too, they're going to have tuned in. And we all love you and appreciate it, your show, very much.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and chat with me.
That is my pleasure, and I'll keep you updated on anything that's happening.
Yes, please do. I would love
that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Josie. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Carl Emroy, everybody.
Thank
you so much. Have a great night. Bye. That was Carl Emroy, and now my next guest, everyone please welcome to the show, Don Chappell. Yes.
Hello, everybody. Everybody out there. Hi, Josie.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I was slightly bit under the weather. I've talked so much, I'm a little bit hoarse, but I can still ride a pony, you know. I can still talk.
I love that. Well, we're excited to talk with you tonight. I'm very excited.
Well, I am too. It's nice to be the first. This is the first internet interview I will have done in quite a while. So, my booking agent, Charlie Wayne Phelps, mighty fine fellow. He keeps me busy. He's I guess he spoke with you too. But,
yes.
Anyway, yeah.
He's great. He's so great. How did you guys meet? How did you and Charlie meet? It's really cool.
How did we meet? And
yeah.
He saw me singing in a nightclub several years ago. Yep. Mm-hmm. And my son and I were working in a nightclub in downtown Nashville, and he was involved with the owner of the place. In fact, he wasn't booking at that time. But since then, he's known a lot of people, and, you know, he's helped a lot of people, and he decides who he wants to work with. He's a mighty fine fellow. Him and his wife, Margie, also, they're just great people.
Oh, definitely. I absolutely agree. And people should know already on my show, Charlie Wayne Phelps, he's from... he's from Talent and Promotions, and he's just an incredible, incredible guy. So shout out to him. Big time shout out. Love him, love him. And can you tell us a little bit about how music all started for you? And if I'm correct, did you come from a musical family?
Absolutely did.
Wow.
Born in a little town called Neon, Kentucky, which is, you know, at the foot of some really high mountains that were full of coal. Does this sound clear enough to you? And that was many, many, many months ago, many years ago. And my sisters preceded me in the business. Well, before them, my mother and my father were in a quartet, traveled throughout eastern Kentucky and central Kentucky, and did mostly church work as a quartet. And out of that, three of the sisters went on later to go professional and record labels in Nashville. And they all did well. And they all had hit songs. And I saw that happening. I watched them and heard them rehearse at home. And it inspired me. I still didn't think I was ever going to do it until... one of my sisters, Jean Chappell, I'll mention her, then I'll tell you the other names too. You know, we all have show names, business names. And Jean Chappell was the one who inspired me the most, because she's the one who told me I could do it. She said, "You can write. I know you can." And I said, "Well, I'd never have." She said, "Well, you just try. I think you'll see that you can." And so she's the one that she's the one that really got me interested in songwriting, and I watched them all sing, so we grew up singing all music all around us. Mother played the piano, dad played banjo, sang bass, same bass in their family quartet, you know. They stayed busy.
I bet.
It's been a super busy life, but music, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
And then Martha Carson. Excuse me. Another sister was Martha Carson.
That's so cool. Wow.
Yeah, it really was. We figure, looking back, you know, this is not to say it boastfully or too proudly, but also at the same time to be grateful that over 40 number one hits came out of our family that we wrote.
Wow.
The girls, I'm talking about the girls plus me. And, it was a thing we could do. We didn't have any schooling, any training formally. We just were able to do it. And we could pull a, you might say something that would inspire me to write a song. Depends on how it hits me when you say it, whatever it is. That's how we've done it, and we were very successful in writing. And then later on, another sister, she called herself Minnie Woodruff, later Garcia. She played an upright bass fiddle. You know, the great big instrument. She played that on stage and fiddle. And they were originally called the Sunshine Sisters, and I was so proud of them. I never dreamed I would ever stand on the Grand Ole Opry stage where they stood, and so many of the other great singers. And when I finally did that, I was really inspired. Then I was set on fire. You know,
wow.
And never could stop after that.
Yeah. Wow. That is
interesting. And
that is.
Excuse me.
I think that is very neat, though.
Three of the songs I sent you.
Yeah.
Two of the songs out of those three were recorded by George Jones, and that didn't hurt either. You know.
Yeah.
It helped his career, but it also helped mine. It
right.
Helped my songwriting connections to develop, and we were great friends for a long time. And until a certain point in life that sometimes things happen that you can't control, you know. And so you go on, you do the best you can and keep on rocking.
Exactly,
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, I think this is very, very neat. You know, so many legendary artists have recorded your songs over the years, such as Conway Twitty and Ray Price, to just... you know, name a few. Can you tell us a little bit about that, what it's like having these great talents record your songs?
Well, Josie, it's hard to keep from boasting, sound like I'm boasting, but I'm not really. I was grateful as each one of them recorded some of my songs, but it was never intentional that I had to search out just those people. They heard some of my songs too, and they contacted me. A lot of them did, and from we went on from there. Some of them made some album cuts, and then when The Grass Grows Over Me came out by George Jones, it got heard by a lot of people, a lot of entertainers, and we have a CD that my daughter Donna Chapel, she's a great singer, wonderful singer. I'd love for you to hear her sometime. She got researched a lot of my 33 to 3rd LPs that I had given her to take care of, because I want her to look after my songs, music, after my time is up. So it ain't up yet, thank God. So I appreciate the Lord for letting me stay as long as He has, and for doing what I was able to do. I didn't do it by myself. He sure did. He helped me. He made the road. That's it. And,
yes.
When the Grass Grows Over Me was one of the first songs, one of the first dozen songs I wrote. And that's one that went worldwide. And not just number one in the States, but it went all over the world. And that was unsuspected. I never dreamed that would happen. I never wrote any songs, including that one, to make money or to be famous. I never thought that way at all, Josie. I hear you're a singer too, and I guess you write too, right?
Right, right.
Do you write? Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe sometime I got some music tracks. Maybe you can cut some of my songs.
I'd love that. I would be honored. That would be incredible. Yes, please.
I'll look into it and get an MP3 on one of the soundtracks something. I'll pick out something for you, I think, that you might like. And we'll hear what you can do with what used to be called Hillbilly became country, then it became traditional country, then they changed it to almost bebop rock and roll now. I mean, it's not like it used to be. Used to be songs said something, and when you got done listening, it's like a book condensed into 3 minutes. The country songs or hits were.
Yeah.
And that particular song, something happened, and I didn't sit down to try to write that song from scratch. Something happened in my life that made me write it. Just got up to myself, bought a little cheap guitar, got into a little one-room apartment where I'd be alone, could think, and I wrote that When the Grass Grows Over Me then, and got it straight to George Jones. And they cut it immediately and predicted it would be one of his biggest songs. And, of course, it did. It made it, though, from just being honest, an honest set of words, you know?
Yeah.
We were allowed to hurt also just because of it. We had successes and did a lot of shows, traveled a lot, and made a little bit of money.
Right.
That didn't make us any better than anybody else. And
right.
We were still grateful.
Yeah,
but other people heard some of my songs because he recorded four of them, and then Tammy Wynette did three or four of them, four or five of them. I don't know exactly how many.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blessed for anyone that was done. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I've still got some songs that haven't even been demoed yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
I'd like to hear you. You going to put something by yourself on the show tonight?
Oh, wow. Well, I have your song, the one that you just mentioned, When the Grass Grows Over Me. I would love to play that right now, if you don't mind. I'd love to play that.
It's your show, darling.
I'm excited.
Do what you want to.
All right. Well, let's do it. I'm very excited to hear this song, so let's play it right now, When the Grass Grows Over Me, and we will be right back with Don Chapel. So here we go. Let's play it. Hit it.
I'll be over you when the grass grows over me. When you left, I thought that I would soon be over you. Even told myself that I would find somebody to. Time and tears have come and gone, but not your memory. But I'll be over you when the grass grows over me. Yes, I'll be over you when you're standing over me. And as you look down at the cold, cold ground, I'm sleeping. Oh, don't expect to hear me say that I still love you then. 'Cause I'll be over you when the grass grows over me. Even when my eyes are closed, they keep on seeing you. Every minute hand of life, I'm hurting through and through. And as long as I live, I know I won't be free. But I'll be over you when the grass grows over me. Yes, I'll be over you when you're standing over me. And as you look down at the cold hope I'm sleeping in, don't expect to hear me say that I still love you then. 'Cause I'll be over you when the grass grows over me.
The grass grows over me, and we are back right now with Don Chapel. And so for those that are new fans of yours, can you please share how we can purchase your music, all of your music?
Well, I haven't tried to buy any of my own music for so long, I couldn't tell you a certain spot. You got to look around, I guess, on the internet today. And
right.
If you go there, just go to www.donchapel.com. And it tell you the title of a bunch of other songs I did, and wrote and recorded. And go to, what's a different website, YouTube. There's some videos on there, some other songs on there that I wrote. And some demos that I did and that some other singers did, famous people, have not been released and may never be yet. But I got them and, I've heard them, I've seen them, and it was good feeling. I wanted to tell you, before I go started and got off the subject, my daughter Donna Chapel got into my archive of 33 and a third albums. Before your time, I'm sure, your mama told me your tender age.
right.
so you weren't familiar with these great big albums then, that much probably. But I was, and the pictures of the artist was on there, and my daughter Donna searched through them and found 35 or 40 different Grand Ole Opry stars that recorded that song of mine, and she put it on one CD. And, we have that now. You hear Conway Twitty sing it. You hear Jack Green sing it. You see what I'm saying? Just the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's a lot more people cut it. That never didn't get a license, so I didn't get paid, and didn't know who they were. That happens.
Right.
And if I'd been paid for all of them, it would have been great. I could have bought another station and called you up to run that one too.
Absolutely.
That's okay though. Go ahead.
That is. So cool, though. And I definitely want people after the show to check you out on YouTube, because you do have a lot of great material on YouTube. And also Google is so awesome. All you have to do is type in your name, Don Chapel, and things just pop up. So you don't have to go too far. Super easy.
Thank you, Ray. My sister Jean Chapel is the one who gave me that show name, the Don Chapel. I went on a little tour with her one time just to watch her sing after her marriage broke up, her first marriage. I traveled with her a little while, just watched her sing and watched her write and watched her play music. She was a great guitar player. I mean, great. Like you never heard a woman play before. And maybe not again. She was amazing. Multi-talented and so it was great to watch her and hear her, and she did it all without rehearsing, without really struggling for it. She just got on stage and it rolled out of her, And that's the way we've done. All of us have done it the same way.
Yeah.
We feel like if you have a good song, you just let the song do the selling, and mm-hmm. go ahead on through and sing it. And
exactly.
Gene did a lot of that. And the funny thing happened, and BMI has it in their archives down there in Nashville, and probably New York all over, I guess, where Gene and I both had a number one song in the same one top 100 BMI songs of all artists combined. And even though I was her young protege, in other words, I ended up writing the song. That song, When the Grass Grows Over Me, it came up number one, and hers was To Get to You. Jerry Wallace, Eddie Arnold did hers, and oh my God, Dean Martin, bunches of people, Tommy Overstreet, was it Tommy? Anyway, Overstreet, he did it.
Yeah.
And I think, anyway, we had the same success, even though I, in a way, was trained by her, but yet not really. She never once said, hey, you got to write a song this way. Never did. I just watched her do it. She would sit in by a window and she would just look out the window and watch the birds and stuff and the wildlife or ducks on the little pond or something out behind the house or on the lake, and she'd just start writing words. And all of a sudden she would say to her husband, honey, get my guitar, please, and amp. And he knew what was happening. He'd go get it and bring it to her at the kitchen table. And
wow.
She'd just pick up the guitar, and he would make sure it was tuned, and he'd hand it to her. From there on, he just wouldn't sit on the couch and let her go. And she would sit there and sing the words she just wrote. It just blew me away. I thought, how could she do that? You know, without any no rehearsing whatsoever. And I picked up on some of that. If you write from your heart, from what's really inside, what really is important to you, it'll take care of itself. It'll come on out. Assuming that you put a little work to it, you know. Everything you write don't have to be a hit. But a lot of them come that way, as if they flew in on a feather, you know, just touched your brain and your heart and say, I need to put this on paper, you know, on tape,
right,
where people can hear it and see if somebody else likes it. So that's how we did it, more or less. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
And Martha, you're a young little lady, but Martha Carson was mm-hmm. another multi-famous sister of mine. She had a song that was like Gene's and mine that went number one and stayed that way over and over and over. It was recorded several hundred times also, called I'm Satisfied. A hand clapping happy spiritual. Martha wrote that and recorded it for History Records when she wrote it. And golly, she never dreamed that would be as big as it was either. We just, like I say, we just wrote from feeling what we felt inside. And if you had enough people saying, hey, y'all need to get that to so-and-so, get that to, you know, this singer, that singer, and we would a lot of times do that before we got with publishing companies. And we were better off then than we were later on with publishing companies, because they don't always settle with you properly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It turns into a big business venture for them. And for us, we watch our heart go on sale, you know. And if we get paid for it, well, that's great. And if we don't, we at least got it out of our system and got it on paper and got it recorded, got it heard.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm talking too much, I guess, so I'm going to let you have the field again here.
You
asked me something else.
No, I'm interested. No, I'm so interested in everything that you say, because there's so many incredible, talented family members of yours, and it's just so cool how natural talent just kind of flows out, I guess. And it's just the neatest thing. It really is.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Well, the point is, we came from a little small town the population was 500 people. It was called Leon, Kentucky, where we were born. That was in Letcher County, down in southeastern Kentucky, and definitely in the coal mining section of Kentucky. And my dad worked in one of the coal mines, well, two or three of them until they'd go out of business and another one would start. And he did that until he got to thinking, I want to get my boys, I had two brothers, he said, I want to get my boys out of here, and the girls are going to go singing, they're going to be all right. But I got to get my boys out of here so they don't have to work in the mines, in the coal mines. And he did just that. He got, in 1941, he came to Cincinnati, Ohio, and got a job in a milling machine factory to get out of the coal mines. Then when he got a little money, enough, he hired a truck and sent it back to get us all. That's what happened. That's how we got down the road, you know, and got me through a school in a little town called Amelia, Ohio, and I went into the University of Miami for a year before I went into the Air Force. So, hey, you know, been here, been there, been everywhere, and you can name a town. If I did a show there, I can still see the town, the street, or the building, the place where we work. Are you like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
It is. It's amazing how the memory works like that.
Yeah,
it's very, very neat. And I want to play another song here. We're running out of time, but I really want to play this great song called From Here to the Door. And we'll be right back, okay? Let's play it.
Thank you, honey. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Here we go. Let's do it. Hit it. From Here to the Door.
Well, it's only my love you are taking, and it's only my heart you are breaking. To you it will be only footsteps you're taking, but it's my lifetime from here to the door. From here to the door is your freedom. To you, a short walk across the floor. But if you go now, this house will be a prison. 'Cause it's my lifetime from here to the door. There you stand now, but I guess that you're going where I failed you, I've no way of knowing. To you, it's no more than a cold wind blowing, but it's my lifetime from here to the door. From here to the door is your freedom. To you, a short walk across the floor. If you go now, this house will be a prison. 'Cause it's my lifetime from here to the door. Yes, it's my lifetime from here to the door.
From Here to the Door, And we are back with Don Chapel. And, Don, I thank you so, so much for coming on the show. We ran out of time, but I would love to have you back on anytime.
I'd love to do that again with you. I talked a good deal, so not maybe too much. I hope I didn't overdo it.
No, absolutely not. Never, never. I love hearing all of the great stories. It just makes me so happy. I love that.
I've seen Nashville come from one skyscraper downtown to it looks like almost like Miami in some places. It's really, really just off its riches and grew. It's quite a metropolis now. Lots happening here now, and has happened here. A lot of great singers have come and gone. Well, they'll never be gone because they've left their trophies behind for us to listen to.
It's true. There's definitely going to be more artists that come in and out. I mean, it's never ending.
It's true. Exactly. How much time do we have, sweetheart?
We actually completely ran out of time, but I definitely want to get you back on because there's so much more that we could talk about.
I'm sure there is. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. Let me say goodbye to all your listeners and thank them. Whoever tuned in to your show and whoever heard and liked my songs, I doubly appreciate that too. And I definitely appreciate you for having me on and allowing me to chat with you.
My pleasure. I do look forward
to coming back on with you sometime.
Oh, yes. We definitely are going to have you back so we could chat some more because there's so much that we can talk about. I mean, there's so much more. So definitely, we'll love to have you back on. Thank you so, so much. And we'll chat with you again very soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Josie.
Thank you so much. Don Chapel, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. He's awesome. He is incredible. He is so great. We didn't have a lot of time because we have back-to-back guests. We had four guests tonight, but I would definitely love to have him back along with all of my guests tonight for updates. We always love that. And also, remember, I actually just got word that on Charlie Wayne Felt's page, you could actually, on his Facebook page, Charlie Wayne Felt, you could find all of Don Chapel's music there. So that's a very, very easy. So if you're on Facebook, make sure you type in Charlie Wayne Phelps, and Don Chapel's music is right there. So now let's put on my next guest, Marshall Dane. Yes. Hello.
Happening,
hey. Woo-hoo. Hi, how are you?
How's it going,
Hi. I'm doing so great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic as well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. I'm very excited to talk about your music and play your music. It's going to be so great.
Right on. I'm excited that you're excited about it.
I am. I really, really am. So I really kind of want to start from the beginning. Can you share with us how you found your passion for music? How did this all start?
Blame it on my folks. You know, my and I say that obviously joking. My mother's a beautiful piano player. My father's a wonderful guitar player. They both sing, and they made sure that, you know, as a kid, daily, if not, you know, we had always some kind of gathering weekly, but daily, my mother would sit at the piano and play music. And my father would constantly have a guitar out and about and take it wherever we went. So it was pretty easy to have a passion for it, you know. And then, of course, I started to play a little bit myself, and I started to enjoy the benefits of, you know, playing for other people and how awesome that made me feel. And then next thing leads to another, and I'm 15 years old trying to squeeze $35 and a piece of cheesecake out of some little cafe owner so I could play there on Friday and Saturday nights. And it seemed to work out, and I was happy with the deal. He was happy with the deal, and here I am now working for about the same.
Yes. Aw, that's so, so cool. I love that. Well, we definitely have to thank your parents, because then we wouldn't have, if you wouldn't have gotten into music, we wouldn't be hearing your music today. So we thank them. Yes.
Right on.
That's awesome. I think that's so awesome. And I bet you have, you know, a lot of musical interest from when you were younger, hearing your mother play them or, you know, whatever it may be. So who are your biggest musical influences, would you say?
You know, sheesh. Well, I got three older sisters, and my three older sisters loved Bon Jovi, and they loved bands like Motley Crue. So I heard a whole bunch of that, and Guns N' Roses. I heard a whole bunch of that as a kid. Although I wasn't aware of AC/DC, my mother wouldn't let me listen to stuff like that, so I didn't get into the too hard to rock. But I used to love listening to, like, when I was a kid, I'd sit at my grandmother's place and just listen to, like, John Denver records and Kenny Rogers records. That's all we really had access to, and those guys were storytellers, and they were great. Just they could really deliver a song, and I guess that's where my I guess where I decided I wanted to hone in on, as far as someone that could play guitar and sing, or someone that could play music and sing, I wanted to hone in on that ability to sell, not just to sell a song, but to really deliver a song so that people got into it, really could feel it. So, I mean, those guys, like, I mean, even Bon Jovi, I mean, you know, you'd watch those guys, and that guy, John Bon Jovi, can sell a song and really deliver a tune that makes people, I mean, makes millions of people feel, you know, something heavy. So, yeah, that was kind of always my goal. And great songwriters, great deliverers, those are my inspirations.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, on to your, you know, you and your music, I think what's really, really cool is you've been nominated for countless awards in several categories. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Congratulations. Wow.
Hey, thank you kindly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not a very competitive guy. I'm competitive with myself, I guess, you know. So I don't really, but I don't, you know, I don't seek for the competitive side of things. So when it comes to things like awards and what that actually means, really from an independent music standpoint, you know, from someone that tries to push the indie envelope, it's really just, at the end of the day, it really just means that there is a community or a group of people that are in your corner and they're behind you. And in the case of some of the recent nominations that I've been blessed to get, that just, I mean, it's cool because I'm just an independent artist trying to work as hard as I can from my little apartment, you know, putting out my songs and going out to gigs. And when you all of a sudden find out that all of Ontario, which is like a tenth of a state, but, you know, you get the whole province is behind you saying, you know what, this isn't based on popularity, this isn't based on anything else other than we are behind you and support you. And, you know, it's a really cool feeling when you get nominated for something, especially when you, I mean, if you kind of apply for something, you sometimes know you might have a shot, but when you don't, and all of a sudden you get the phone call saying, hey, you're in, you know, it makes you feel really good, because you feel like you've got that one more chance. You've got, you know, a group of people behind you or somebody behind you giving you a little kick in the butt to make sure that you are able to still try your hardest and keep pushing. So it's really good. It's nice. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that's such a great, you know, motivation for you, you know, to keep going and just keep striving for that main goal that we all have.
It's a hard key business, you know, so any kind of support, you know, especially when it starts to show up on a little bit, you know, beyond your regular circle, like in this case, you know, like a province or a provincial territory, it's like it's a great support. Yeah, definitely lights a fire.
Right. It definitely does. And your song that I really want to talk about, One of These Days, it recently went to number one on the Roots Music Report Pop Country Chart. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Wow. Amazing.
So, yeah, that song was written in July of 2011. I had no idea. At that point, I was just writing to get ready for another record. I didn't know how I was going to get another record. I didn't know how I was going to afford another record. You know, and that tune happened at a point in my life where, I mean, that was 2011. So at the very beginning of 2011, I was blessed enough to go on a radio tour, or not a radio tour, an actual tour of the opening act for a couple of artists. And you never, I don't know if you ever seen that movie, Almost Famous, but there's this movie about, you know, yeah, you know the one I'm talking about, right? Where you, you know, you dream about being on the tour bus and all the all the big stuff that's supposed to happen. I was going through that, like it was perfect, it was beautiful, and then all of a sudden, I found myself so busy and so tied up with everything, and then I had a relationship drop out on me, and I found myself in this whirlwind of the extreme highs and the extreme lows of the music business. And I sat down on my very first day of this 2011 writing trip, and I wrote One of These Days with a friend of mine. And it was all based on, I don't want to wait anymore. I don't want to, all these beautiful things that were happening, I didn't want to just let it pass me by. I really wanted to take advantage and take and not take it for granted every day. I really wanted to stop and smell the roses. I was kind of, you know, letting stuff pass me by, and I was missing some of the important things, like going to see my father, going to spend time with my mother, you know, taking time out for my family and for myself instead, you know. So I thought One of These Days is not a song about something I'm going to do in the future, and one of these days I'm going to get around to doing something. Instead, it was, today is one of these days. It's one of those, every time you say I'm going to do this, today is the day you're going to actually get it done. So it was about taking advantage of, you know, the beauty of life, and, you know, and understanding the sensitivity of its fleetingness. You know, it's very compassionate about that. So One of These Days is all about just the here and the now, and yeah, and I'm glad you like the song.
Oh, yes, we definitely do. And I am very excited that I have this song with us to play. So let's put this one on right now, One of These Days, and we'll be right back, okay? Let's do it.
Right on, right on.
All right, here we go, by Marshall Dane. Here we go, One of These Days. Be right back.
Come on, girl. Girl, we always say someday, when it comes to leaving this town, it's always off in the future. It never seems to come around. I've got a few dollars saved up, and I've got the windows rolled down. I've got a tank full of dreams, and they're telling me there's no better time than now. This is one of these days. We've been waiting for
gonna happen, baby, but I don't wanna wait anymore. This is one of these days.
Was One of These Days, and we are back right now with Marshall Dane. Now, I read somewhere that you have also opened up for Alan Jackson and Emerson Drive. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is like when you're able to open up for such big acts? What's that
Alan,
like?
Alan, I'm just kidding.
It's probably crazy.
It's as awesome as you think it is.
Yeah.
If you've ever had a chance to meet some of these amazing artists that you have looked up to for so long, you realize they're just human like everybody else. But that feeling of actually being backstage of an Alan Jackson show, and you know, you've just taken your little John Deere tractor with your, you know, my little 5-piece band, and he's got like a 10-piece band, and you're
yeah.
you know, on the back of the little tractor getting to your room, and you see, you know, 3 transport trailers with his picture and logo on the side, and then you get to the backstage of the, you know, the big stage area, and it looks like they could drop a helicopter on there. I mean, it's so much room. It's exhilarating. It's thrilling, and it's exciting, and of course, you know, then of course, you know, you actually see Alan, and you see that kind of stuff going on. You know, you're a little bit beside yourself, but at the same time, it's exciting because you're thinking, all my friends that say, you know, that's probably pretty cool that you get to do what you do, you don't really think about it until some of those crazy moments where you're, like, standing beside Eric Church or Brad Paisley or, you know, Alan
yeah,
Jackson.
Right,
you're like,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's, you know, it's
definitely
pretty cool that I get to see it here. But, yeah, it's an awesome time, and, you know, everybody's always really friendly, and you get, you know, it just builds up your excitement for when you hit the stage and just adds
yeah.
to the energy level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I bet it's a very surreal moment because, I mean, you hear these people on the radio and you know, grow up listening to them and watching them on TV. I mean, it's kind of crazy being face-to-face or, you know, being so close. That's kind of, you know, whoa, mind-blowing.
I ended up meeting Kevin Costner a couple times, and I thought,
oh, wow.
What the heck, man? This is the guy from the movies, you know?
Right.
I'm the guy from the little town in southern, you know, Ontario, and here's the guy that's been in, like, a bunch of huge movies. And, yeah, but it's cool, because obviously everybody's down to earth and normal, but it's
exactly.
Definitely a kick, pinch myself. Am I right here, right now?
Exactly, absolutely. And I want to also talk about this new single that you have out now called Alcohol Abuse. Can you tell us a little bit about this song before we play it?
Sure. Alcohol Abuse is, I mean, well, straight up, it's a lighthearted tune about spilling drinks. And I don't know if you've ever heard that expression, but it was a couple, 4 years ago, I heard the expression for the first time. And, you know, just a waitress kind of yells out alcohol abuse, and I thought, oh, wait a second, what an awesome... Well, no, I shouldn't say awesome. What an awesome way to,
right.
you know, kind of make light of the fact that, you know, somebody's dropping booze somewhere. And so, yeah, it's a fun tune. It's got a killer chorus. It's high energy. It's just a great tune. It's a fun tune. You know, Michelob, Anheuser, Miller Lite, Budweiser, Newcastle, Harpoon, Lone Star, Blue Moon, Dos Equis, Amstel, Sam's, Gondel, If you can memorize it, I'll give you $1 million. First time around.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go. There's a tester for y'all. So good luck on that, everybody, and let's play it right now. I'm very excited to hear it. So let's play it right now, Alcohol Abuse by Marshall Dane. Let's go.
Alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious
here's the chicken wire in front of my face. Jack Daniels was falling like a rain on the stage. Then a fight broke down and a bouncer broke a bottle. Over all that noise I heard somebody holler, alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious booze. Name your pain, whatever you choose. Oh, highball, Bloody Mary, fuzzy navel, cooking sherry, mud, cloud, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse. Well, the trouble escalated as the cops showed up. They busted through the doors, pulled out their handcuffs. They said, boys, you need some help, a little rehabilitation. We're running you in for misappropriation. Cooking sherry, mud, slide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse. Right. Michelob low band, how's a Miller Lite, Budweiser, Newcastle, Harpoon, Lone Star, Blue Moon, Dose, Sticky, Amstel, Samuel Adams, Gone to Hell, Highball, Bloody Mary, Fuzzy Navel, cooking sherry, mud, slide, margarita, whiskey, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. With every drop we lose, it's alcohol abuse. Every drop we lose,
every drop we lose,
it's alcohol abuse.
Was Alcohol Abuse by Marshall Dane, and we're back with him right now. So for your new fans out there that want to purchase this song along with all of your other music, where can we go, the best places to go?
Well, the best, easiest spot is marshalldane.com, MarshallDane.com. And we've got links there to all your different avenues you want to use, so if it's iTunes or whatever. We've got links there. But otherwise, you know, you can purchase it directly from the website. If you want to go to iTunes, just type in Marshall Dane. If you're on SoundCloud or whatever the other format is, you can find me out there as well. But, yeah, the website. And if all else fails, just Google it. And other than Dane, Wisconsin, you'll find MarshallDane.com is the best bet.
Perfect. Yes, that's your one-stop shop for all of your good stuff. Awesome. awesome. Perfect, perfect, simple, very easy. And I also want to get out some, you know, links to social networking sites or any sites that you want people to friend you and add you and follow you.
Definitely, if you're doing the Twitter thing, I'm on Twitter at Marshall Dane. Again, it's MarshallDane. And if you're on Facebook, it's Marshall Dane Music. And fortunately, we have all those links directly from the website as well. And I guess there's Reverb Nation, Instagram. I mean, there's so many different things now. I'm just fortunate that they're all listed on the website, so
yeah.
I don't have to have the address in my brain for each one of them.
Exactly. So, I mean, once again, MarshallDane.com, that's pretty much it. it all links to your stuff.
You keep it simple.
Perfect. And before we go, because we are running out of time, but are you currently working on any new upcoming projects here in 2014 that you could share with us? Anything you could
you know what?
Tell us about?
The 2014 is, this year has been a year of firsts for everything. This is the first time that I've had my music exposed, on purpose at least, south of the border, of the Canadian border, to see what our brothers and sisters in America think about what we're doing. So there's a constant update and flurry of activity. But again, if you follow at the website and or if you catch it on Twitter or Facebook, we're constantly updating the excitement that's happening throughout the U.S., as well as I'm now looking forward to working on yet another record, another album's worth of material, which is exciting because now you guys get to hear the diary of what the last year and a half of my life has been. And you'll find it in the songs. And I'm hoping that we're going to be doing some SoundCloud little snippets of some new stuff. Just really there's a flurry of activity happening through the summer with shows. And then, a new single will probably come out during the fall time. So there's nonstop stuff going on. And again, I mean, the easiest thing is the one-stop shop, MarshallDane.com. And you can see what the latest and the greatest is going on.
Perfect. And it sounds like it's going to be a very busy summer for you. And, you know, the good kind of busy. You're going to really have a great time.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, it definitely, there was years when it was slow. And I remember people saying, oh, just wait, when it picks up, you're going to wish it was slow again. And here we are. I mean, not that I wish it was slow, but definitely the summer is going to be a busy time. An exciting time. I mean, yeah, there's lots to look forward to, that's for sure.
Wow, absolutely. I definitely am excited to check out everything that you are, you know, planning to put out and all that stuff. I'm definitely going to follow you on Twitter, first off. And then I'm definitely going to keep...
Whereabouts are you guys located?
We are actually in Illinois.
Illinois, beautiful.
Yes. So I'm definitely... Oh, really? Oh, wow. That's awesome. That is so cool. Next time you're down here or, you know, we can, when you have a performance, we could definitely try to come down. I would love to see you perform. That would be amazing.
That'd be great, man. We should hook up a show. Yeah, that'd be great.
Sounds great. Perfect. It's a deal then. Thank you so much. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. And we definitely would love to have you back on anytime.
Hey, that'd be my pleasure. And, there's going to be so much exciting things happening. But as long as you got room for me, I would love to come back.
Absolutely. It's definitely a for sure thing. So thank you so much, and we'll chat with you again very soon. Marshall Dane, everybody, thank you so much, and I hope you have a great night.
Right on. Thank you very much to your listeners as well. Really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Talk with you soon, Marshall Dane. Woohoo!
Woo.
Good night. Loved it. Good night. Aw, he is awesome. I had so much fun with all of my guests tonight. I had such a great time. So now I want to hurry and put this on to my VIPs and all that fun stuff. So I'm going to pass it down to my producer, Tina. And, we're running out of time with this show, so bring it on.
We are in a little bit of overtime, so we're going to have to talk real fast tonight. Josie Show VIP members, I'm going to list them for you, tell you where you can check them all out. We have got Tim Garman, Vince Anthony, Larry Massey, Wayne Jacobs, Lace Whitworth, Fraser Newcomb, Rick Seaman, Brad Howard, Mark Wildman, Will Sterling, and Lisa Skinner. And you can find all of them by going to josieshow.com. clicking on the VIP membership tab, scroll down to the bottom, and you will find all of their pictures and their clickable links. You can also take their names and search them in Facebook and see all of their music pages, their personal pages, and follow with everything that they have going on right from their pages. Weekly, we also copy some great information from their pages as well. So you can find it on Josie's Facebook page. You can find it on the Josie Show page as well. That's your facebook.com/Josie Show. All right, Josie, that's our VIPs. Throwing it back to you.
Thank you so much. Now, I want to hurry and get through these announcements before we get completely cut off. So the Country Blast Radio Countdown Blast for June is on Thursday, June 26th at 7 p.m. Central, and you can hear that at josieshow.com or countryblastradio.com. And also, we want to give a special thank you to CMG Radio and Fishing Country Now Cowgirl Divas Radio for re-airing the Josie Show episodes weekly. We appreciate you guys so, so much. And I also want to thank you all so, so much for the two nominations in the Independent Country Music Association Awards for 2014. We were nominated for Most Indie-Friendly Radio Show, and I was nominated for Most Indie-Friendly DJ. So I think that is an incredible honor, and I'm very, very thankful for all of you who put in the nomination for us, and let's fingers crossed. I definitely am very, very excited and honored to just be nominated, so thank you all so much. And next week on the Josie Show, my guests are Charlie Wayne and Margie Sue Feltz, Jan Howard Hicks, Scott and Scott Nickel. So I'm very, very excited about that. So it's going to be such a great, great show. And thank you all so, so much for tuning in to tonight's show with all of my wonderful guests. I had so much fun talking with Gail Carson, Carl Emroy, Don Chappell, and Marshall Dane. And so see you guys next Friday. Good night, everybody. Mwah! Thank you for listening in to The Josie Show.